New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
What's going on, Pats Nation? This is the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show. And the Patriots just beat the Denver Broncos 16-3. Patriots win the AFC East title for the 8th consecutive year and the 14th time in 16 years. Also, the Pats lock up a first round bye in the playoffs. Great, great news from Pats Nation. I am your host, DJ Mees. Marvin is on, and I also got my co-host with me, Mike Nice. It's a good day to be a Patriots fan, Mike.
Absolutely. This is a game that a lot of people were looking forward to seeing. You know, Tom Brady going into Denver to the Mile High City playing in the Sports Authority Field. And, you know, everybody wants to see how he would fare. Obviously, last year in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game, you know, Patriots weren't able to come out with the win, and Brady had a pretty bad day on the field. And just overall history, Brady has not been successful playing in Denver, in that stadium, in that atmosphere. But today he was able to step on the field. And if you look at his stats, obviously it wasn't the Brady kind of game that we're used to seeing. But what matters is the win that the Patriots were able to secure. You got to be happy with what you saw, especially defensively. And all these different things that went into this game that happened, we're going to break down, dissect, and I can't wait to get into it.
We also got our guy, Mike Alonji, running the switchboards. Mike, we clinched the AFC East once again. What did you like in this game, man? Well, I guess Mike will get with us in a second, but moving on, make sure you call us and let us know what you think about this Patriots game. You know, you can call, the Blue Apron call lines are now open. Get three free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/Patriots. You could call in at 929-477-2386. Once again, that's 929-477-2386. Let us know. First round bye, and that's something, Mike, that here in New England we are accustomed to.
Absolutely. Like you said, you know, 7 or 8 straight years now the Patriots have been able to clinch that first round bye. And that just goes to show how good this team has been over the years. You know, like you said, it's something that, you know, Patriots fans are used to seeing. You know, you don't have to worry about the Patriots too many times playing in a wild card game, you know, having that game on the line where it's either you advance or that's the end of your season. You know, around these parts, you know, as New England Patriots fans, we usually just get ready for that divisional game and see, and can't wait to see who our opponent is. But every year, it just seems like the Patriots are in the same position, first round bye, number one and number two seed, divisional game, AFC Championship game, possible Super Bowl. You know, it just seems like it's the same. It's a tradition, basically, pretty much. When the NFL season rolls around, one thing you can expect to see is the New England Patriots in the playoffs for sure, and the New England Patriots possibly playing for a Super Bowl. That's just what happens for the New England Patriots year in and year out, and just another season where it looks like it's headed in that direction.
I think we got our guy Mike Alonji back. So, Mike Alonji, we're just talking about Patriots once again clinching a first round bye. What did you see in this game?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I was screening some calls there. Yeah, guys, obviously, you know, like you said, Patriots kind of do this every year, 14 out of 16 with Brady and Belichick, so that's pretty obvious. As far as the game went, you know, it wasn't a pretty one by any means. They only scored, you know, I believe 6 or 8 points under their season average. So, I mean, 16 points in a game, not too many against a good defense. My big thing was Marcus Cannon. I was talking to you guys about it before the show. He was unbelievable today. I mean, Von Miller did nothing. He didn't touch Tom Brady. He couldn't even breathe on Tom Brady. He wasn't even close to him. Marcus Cannon was unbelievable today. I'd never seen him play that well in the time he's been here. And then the defense. You know, we've been kind of harping on the defense over the past few weeks, and, you know, how good are they? Are they really that good? You know, they put together 2 weeks in a row where they were really, really, really impressive. If we take away those two horrible special teams errors last week, Patriots probably only would have given up, you know, what, maybe 10 points max in that game last week. So you're talking, you know, 13 to 16 points over 2 weeks as the playoffs are approaching. This defense is for real, guys. We got to start talking about them.
The defense has stepped up.
100%.
They stepped up tremendously in these past couple of weeks, causing turnovers as well, which has been very key for this defense. And they had a couple, again, in this game that we're going to touch on. But let's keep the conversation going. We got our guy Nick from Tampa. Nick, what is going on, man? We missed you last week, but we got you in this time. What did you see in this game?
Mike Nice, DJ Mees, Alonji, how you guys doing? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all those things.
Same to you, man.
Yeah, I was calling in like late night after the game last week, and I kept calling and calling, hoping that you guys would come on because it was an intense game. I needed to vent afterwards and holler at my peoples, but y'all didn't come through, so I'm glad that you guys are here this week.
We're back, but, man, we're back.
Definitely, and this is definitely a more satisfying game. We held it down. I absolutely hate the Donkeys. I can't stand this team. So absolutely shutting them down to holding them to 3 points in their own stadium was fantastic. I mean, basically my observations pretty much mirror what Alonji just said. Shut down their offense completely. This defense just seems to be getting better and better every single week. Where a few weeks back it was kind of like pulling my hair out watching them, you know, the bend don't break, and then sometimes it would break and it would just, you know, break my heart. And this time it just seems like, you know, they keep getting better, forcing turnovers, getting more pressure. I've been screaming for pressure all year, and the past couple of weeks they've been getting several sacks. They have 4 sacks this week. Last week I think they had a few sacks. Holding Denver, I know Trevor Siemian or whatever his name is, Siemian, so I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I know that he's not the greatest of quarterbacks, but Flacco has won a Super Bowl, and we held Flacco down as well. Last week, I think the defense, I mean, I'm only going to give the defense, hold them accountable for three field goals, 9 points, because those two touchdowns were basically the fault of the special teams blunders by Cyrus Jones and then Matthew Slater. This game, just like Alonji said, Von Miller completely neutralized by Marcus Cannon. I mean, I think you really got to give credit to Dante Scarnecchia coming back and really keeping this offensive line, you know, in line, getting them, you know, not only protecting Tom Brady, who got hit a few times today and got sacked a couple of times, but wasn't, you know, getting completely knocked all over the field like he did in the AFC Championship game last year, and also creating huge holes for Deion Lewis, who proved today that, you know, he can really, you know, not only catch passes, but really, you know, cut up the defense on the ground. I think he had 95 yards on the ground. He had what should have been a touchdown that they called a fumble for some idiotic reason. I was screaming that they should have challenged that play because he clearly crossed the plane, but my man Blunt came back. And, of course, speaking of Blunt, as I always do, terrible game, you know, statistically. He did have that one touchdown, but he is now leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns. He's the all-time single-season touchdown leader for the Patriots at 15 touchdowns. And this is now his second 1,000-yard rushing season. So, I mean, all-around good game, offensively, defensively, just all around very happy with the performance of this team. And I think, as Alonji stated, this defense just keeps getting better. And now I actually truly feel, after the past couple of weeks, that we have a defense that can get us not only to the Super Bowl, but possibly win the Super Bowl. And we have an offensive line that can hold off some of the better pass rushes and some of the better defenses in the league, as we saw last week with Baltimore and as we saw this week with the Denver Broncos.
I definitely agree with you. This defense is starting to give us, you know, a lot more confidence. I know we were sweating earlier into the season with so many yards being let up in the bend don't break defense. But lately they've been coming through against teams like Denver, like Baltimore, that can put up some points there. And they're showing us something. So hopefully that continues throughout the playoffs, throughout the end of the year and going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, One last thing. I just wanted to point out that, you know, it's incredible that this team can take out a player and you know, all, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player like Jamie Collins, just take him out completely and continue to not only just hold fort, but even get better. That's just a testament to how good these coaches are. I mean, it was a little bumpy roads here and there, but they just keep getting better, even taking out players. They can take players out of games like Sheard or like Mingo or some of these other players and take them out for not performing or for not doing what they're supposed to do and still perform up to the highest level of NFL, you know, caliber. It's incredible that they can do these type of things and still, you know, perform at the level that they do while holding their standards to an extremely high level. It's incredible what they've done. I mean, this coaching staff deserves a whole lot of credit, and the execution obviously deserves incredible credit as well.
Absolutely. I agree with Nick 100%.
That's a great point that you brought up. Thank you, Nick. Once again, man, look forward to hearing from you again, bud.
Yeah, take it easy, y'all.
All right, man.
Yeah, Nick brought up a good point. Once Collins left, you know, we've been what, a month without Collins, and the defense has gotten better. It really might have been a statement that Belichick was trying to do, shake up his defense, trade away Collins. And now, look, we're not talking about Collins no more. We even saw McLennan do the Collins jump over the line and block a kick, pretty much, you know, sticking in his face saying, we don't need you. And their defense has shown up. It's crazy to think that. It still doesn't make too much sense to me why Collins is not on this team ending the year with us, but you can't complain when you see the results. In Bill, we trust.
Marv, that's all it boils down to, in Bill, we trust. People questioned the Collins trade. People questioned the Chandler Jones trade early in the season. And look what we have here. You have a team that's sitting, what, 12-2? Already clinched the first round by possibly, you know, have a chance to lock down the number one seed. All the moves that is made with this team, all you can say it boils down to, in Bill, we trust.
Once again, let's continue this conversation on the defense, on the Patriots clinching the first round bye. You can call in at 929-477-2386. Once again, that's 929-477-2386. We got Daniel from Boston. Daniel, what's going on?
What's up?
What's going on, Dan?
Hey, I just watched the game, man. Great game. We're looking good.
Absolutely, absolutely. What are your thoughts on today's game, the big, you know, Brady going to Denver, playing in the Mile High City? What are your thoughts on his performance, the whole team's performance?
You know, it was good. What struck me was I saw the Patriots 12-2 again, and, you know, Brady got the all-time wins record. And I was thinking, with the quarterback position changing and everything, it's going to be near impossible to break Brady's record. But with the position changing – and all the mobile quarterbacks and things, their careers are going to be a little shorter. So I'm feeling good about Brady's record standing.
I hate that 100%. You know, these guys in the league now, the Cam Newtons, the Russell Wilsons, whatnot, you know, being mobile quarterbacks and taking all the hits that they take, it could possibly shorten some careers just by, you know, not being able to maintain and be in shape by the time they're hitting 38, 39, 40 years old like Tom Brady is. And throughout his career, he's just been in the pocket making passes. So I hear what you're saying. You definitely have a point. You know, I don't even know in the league now if anybody will come close to what Tom Brady has been able to do in terms of getting 200-plus wins. But absolutely.
Any last thoughts you have?
No, that's it. Let's go. It's ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's definitely playoff time. Thank you once again, Daniel, for your call. And hopefully we get to the playoffs and Brady continues rolling on and we see another trophy coming in.
He made some good points, though. Absolutely. I don't know anybody in the league right now out of the quarterbacks that are currently playing, even the young ones in the league, 200-plus wins? I don't know, man. I don't know.
That really might not get touched in our lifetime. Who knows, man? That's a lot of wins, and that's a lot of years you have to be playing in the NFL. This is Brady's, what, 16th season? And he's been winning, what, 14 out of those 16 years? Consistently 10-plus wins, which is almost unheard of in the NFL. I don't know if that's going to be possible again. We've seen young quarterbacks like Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. Who else? Who's out there who's performing well?
Cam Newton, Matt Stafford.
Even those guys, you know, they have some off years when they're not going to win 10-plus seasons. Russell Wilson's on a good pace right now, but can he do that for another 10 more years? That's to be seen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. It really doesn't seem possible. I'm talking Brady's been in the league, and every year he's played. We're talking since, what, 2001 when he became the official full-time starter, 2002, whenever the case is. You're talking about a guy who wins 12 or more games every year. Every year. You know, I can't tell you the last time, I don't remember a year, that Brady won less than 12 games in a season. I don't even recall, because it just seems like that's the type of number they average year in and year out. And then on top of that, you had 2007 going 16-0. So that helps out a lot.
Yeah, and then the year after that, he doesn't play at all, and he still reaches these milestones. So
That's crazy.
It's crazy to think about that. But let's continue talking. He missed the year. Let's continue talking about the Patriots win against Denver. But before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
The workers who have succeeded in this new economy are those who know how to decide for themselves how to spend their time and allocate their energy. They understand how to set goals, prioritize tasks, and make choices about which projects to pursue. People who know how to self-motivate, according to studies, earn more money than their peers, report higher levels of happiness, and say they are more satisfied with their families, jobs, and lives.
The preceding excerpt is from Charles Duhigg's The Power of Habit audiobook, published by Random House Audio. Audible is the leading source of audiobooks online, and to get access to audiobooks such as this, along with a free 30-day trial, log on to audiblepodcast.com/try now.
Thanks to everyone who downloaded the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and of course, the free CLNS Radio mobile app. Another game is in the books for the 4-time Super Bowl champions. Before you know it, another week of football will be upon us, and we here at the Patriots Beat Podcast will have you covered. We'll provide the most in-depth breakdown of the most recent Patriots game, reaction to all the transpirings throughout the week, all while looking ahead by providing a featured interview as we go behind enemy lines the Pats' next opponent. It's all on the Patriots Beat Podcast, powered by CLNS Radio, released every Friday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Time on clnsradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and of course, the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
New England Patriots beat the Denver Broncos 16-3, and now they clinch a first round bye, and they are the AFC East champions. Everything that we expected coming into this season, so no surprises there, but it's always good to see. And now we are going to enter our segment with Harris of the Patriots Beat Podcast, which is released first thing every Friday morning on clnsradio.com and the CLNS Radio mobile app. Harris, a good win by Patriots going into Denver in a really subpar mild game by Tom Brady, only throwing for 188 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but a great defensive win.
I mean, you know, you just look at this game, and it was all game plan. I mean, they didn't try to go into Denver and beat them with brute force. They didn't try to go into Denver and air it out and try to beat them. They looked at the Denver defense, and with no linebackers, because, you know, Brandon Marshall is out, Danny Trevathan's now with the Bears. Well, this defense has three good players. They have Tlaib, Harris, and Von Miller. So they ignored throwing the ball anywhere near Chris Harris or Aqib Tlaib, and they just continued to run the ball away from Von Miller, and that's all they did all game. They told the defense, go beat Trevor Siemian. And the defense went, all right, that sounds easy enough, and they did it. I still don't think Trevor Siemian is that good. This is one of the first games we've seen in a couple of years now where the defense had to win this game, and they did. And, you know, I've been saying it over and over and over again every single week that if this defense forces turnovers, this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. And today they got that huge turnover from Logan Ryan when the Broncos were in the red zone. They brought it back around. They scored a touchdown on that drive. That's a 10-point swing. So, you know, say what you want about this, this, and that. this Patriots defense just held this Denver Broncos offense to 3 points in Denver when this Denver Broncos offense scored 27 points against the vaunted Chiefs defense. So, you know, the uproar of this Patriots defense, I think, is now silenced.
Absolutely. And speaking a little bit more on the defense, this has been 3 or 4 weeks now that we've seen solid play up front in the secondary, team forcing turnovers. Are we slowly but surely, and especially as the Patriots move into the playoffs, are we moving away from that bend and not break, you know, label that we've given this defense? Are we, can we solidly kind of say now that this Patriots defense is turning into one of the better ones in the league?
Well, I still think the bend but don't break defense is still there, but the key to this Patriots defense is now that the other corner spot opposite Malcolm Butler is solidified, they don't have to worry about another half of the field. I mean, Logan Ryan played a great game today against Demaryius Thomas. Eric Rowe played a really good game today as well. They took Justin Coleman off the field because he was a complete liability. Malcolm Butler dominated Emmanuel Sanders today, and they're just letting the linebackers, you know, Shane McClellan, Van Noy, in Hightower, just cover all these running backs all over the place, and it's working. The defensive scheme when they traded Collins is exactly what we're looking at here. Let the corners not get beat and have the linebackers come down on the running backs. You can get 10 to 15 yards here and there, but you're not going to beat this team over the top. I mean, Devin McCourty today had an outstanding game all over the place. He, you know, he crushed Demaryius Thomas to basically end the football game there once Demaryius Thomas dropped that pass. This is what Belichick imagined the defense was going to look like when he traded Jamie Collins. It took a couple of weeks for the defense to kind of find its center. But now that it's find its center, I think this defense is up there with some of the better ones in the league.
I want to speak on the special teams this week. Last week, you know, special teams was a big issue with Cyrus Jones, and you had Matthew Slater fumbling the ball. But this week, Steven Gostkowski was great. Ryan Allen once again had a very strong performance.
And
Julian Edelman and Deion Lewis were the guys, you know, doing the punt and kick returns. It was a great week from special teams. And do you think that's going to happen going forward and continue with the special teams effort?
Oh, absolutely. Ryan Allen has been a stud all season long. For all the credit, you know, Belichick gave Johnny Hecker for being a weapon, Ryan Allen has been outstanding in some of these games this year, especially in this one against Denver. He pinned them inside of their own 10, what, 3 to 4 times this game? Not to mention the punt coverage team all year has been outstanding. So Brady can't score every single time the Patriots offense goes down the field, it's up to the punt team to make sure that, you know, it stays with enough field position that the Patriots defense can take control of the game. And that's exactly what's been happening the past couple weeks. Also, not to mention that Steven Gostkowski has now made, I believe, 16 of his last 17 field goals. So all the early season worries about him are now out the window. He's back to being Ghost. We don't need to worry about him when he tries to kick field goals. He's shaking off the rust from the AFC Championship game miss. You know, this has been one of the better special teams units in the NFL for at least the last decade. They've slipped up a couple times here and there this season, as any unit will, but I mean, for the most part, this has been them all season long. It's just the fumbling on the part of the kick returners has really put a damper on what's been a good special teams unit.
One thing about this team that we've all noticed throughout the season is they've relied a lot on the running game, and especially in today's matchup against the Broncos, you saw Deion Lewis, 18 carries, LeGarrette Blount, 17 carries. You know, you don't usually see Patriots running backs, you know, loading up with the carries like we saw today, and of course throughout the season with LeGarrette Blount, you know, breaking records and whatnot, over 1,000 yards. With this offense and the balance that they have, knowing what Tom Brady can do in the pocket and knowing that they have Lewis and Blount and sometimes even James White, is this offense, you know, one that the Patriots will rely on, especially having Tom Brady for another couple of years?
No, absolutely. I mean, we just look at their interior offensive line. Shaq Mason, second year in the league. David Andrews, second year in the league. Joe Tooney, first year in the league. All three of these guys are fantastic run blockers. Shaq Mason is unbelievable. One of the best young run blocking guards I think this league has seen in a long time. This guy absolutely plows the road. And if you look at the defensive line for the Broncos, sure, Ware and Miller are really good, but you look at that interior, and once Derek Wolfe went down, and he's one of their better D linemen, all they did all game long was just pound the ball up the middle. Blunt, Lewis. They even tried to give James White the ball, even though he can't run at all. They just they saw the defense. They saw what the defense was giving to them with very weak linebackers. And the only nose tackle they have on the team is Sylvester Williams, who has been kind of a disappointment since he was drafted in the first round a couple of years ago. So they took what the Denver defense gave them. They ran the ball hard. This offensive line is so good at running the ball. You know, you guys mentioned yourself, Marcus Cannon has been outstanding in all facets of the offense this year, run blocking included. So, you know, this is what happens when you have a good offensive line. If you have a great interior offensive line, you can just run the ball down teams' throats. And if you look at the rest of the AFC right now, I don't really see a team that can run the ball as well as the Patriots do on a consistent basis. Maybe the Raiders, but I still think Latavius Murray is a little bit inconsistent for me.
With Julian Edelman being Tom Brady's pretty much main target throughout this game, he had 12 targets. Watching the game, I was a little frustrated that I didn't see more receivers getting, you know, targets, or even Martellus Bennett. You know, now that Rob Gronkowski is no longer going to be playing, I'd like to see Martellus Bennett more involved into this offense. Was that just game plan for this week, or do you think Brady's not looking at Martellus Bennett as much as he should be?
I think Martellus Bennett is seriously injured and not telling anyone. I think Martellus Bennett is going to come out at the end of this season that he is some sort of torn ligament in that ankle. When he first went down, he was in a serious amount of pain. Maybe it's a high ankle sprain. Maybe it's some sort of ligament strain. I'm not sure. But whatever's going on with that ankle, he did not look 100%. But again, I think this was a lot of game planning. I think they used Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell a lot of the time as decoys to open up the middle of the field for Julian Edelman. You know, we saw Malcolm Mitchell only get one catch today and one target. Chris Hogan only had two targets. If you're going against this Broncos defense, you don't want to throw at Aqib Talib. You don't want to throw at Chris Harris. Those are arguably the two best corners in the game and easily the best cornerback pairing in the NFL. So when you're going against this Denver Broncos defense, I think it's best to just game plan to try to get the ball in the middle of the field as much as you possibly can, whether it's with the running back, whether it's with Edelman, whatever it is, that's what they had to do. I was a little bit surprised that they didn't throw the ball to the running backs out of the backfield as much as they did. But again, you know, they were running the ball so well that they didn't have to. And when they don't run the ball well, that's when you see a lot of running back throws and running back wheel routes out of the backfield. So maybe it was game plan, maybe not. I think this Patriots offense is so unique and it's so versatile that every single time they go into a different football game against a different defense, they can match up incredibly well and try to game plan against that defense's weaknesses.
Yeah, that's why we have this coaching, the great coaching staff that we do, and you can't complain when you get these results, 12-2. Harris, man, thank you once again for your insights. It's always appreciated, and we look forward to hearing you next week when we take on the sorry, sorry Jets.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. I'm calling to you guys from Aruba here. It's beautiful. I wish you guys the best in that cold, cold Massachusetts.
Wow.
Thanks a lot for rubbing it in, man. Enjoy yourself, Harris. Have fun, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Take care. Harris of the Patriots Beat Podcast here on CLNS Radio. Download the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, the CLNS Radio mobile app released every Friday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern. Mike, when we started this show, especially during the preseason, there's two guys we attacked the most, Marcus Cannon and LeGarrette Blount. And man, oh man, have we been eating our words. Marcus Cannon has played out of his mind this year. And this is a guy, Mike, I have criticized for a very, very long time. But when you're able to stop a guy like Von Miller, who's the best defensive player in this league, I mean, what else can you say? Especially after Brady getting hit, what, 17 times last year? Incredible.
You know what? The crazy thing with Marcus Cannon is a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people, not just from you and me on the show, but I've heard from a lot of people watching how much they can't stand Marcus Cannon. But the Patriots, Bill Belichick, they obviously see something in this guy, which is the reason why, you know, recently they gave him that contract extension. When we all saw that, we were dumbfounded. Why would you give Marcus Cannon, a guy who we watched with our eyes on numerous occasions, and, you know, he gets the new contract. The Patriots believe in him. He knows that he has the faith of the coaching staff, the organization. And for him to come out and have a game like he did today where he pretty much, you know, silenced Von Miller. You know, you got to give the man credit, a lot of credit. You know, seeing how Von Miller was silenced today in today's game, like I told you guys earlier before we went on the air, it's like earlier in the season when the Patriots faced the Texans and J.J. Watt did absolutely nothing. Did Marcus Cannon probably have a little bit to do with it? Who knows if you go back and look at it, possibly. But for him to have the performance he did today against Von Miller, against this Broncos defense, you got to give the man credit, and hopefully it continues in the right direction, because one thing I always say repeatedly time and time again, I don't care how old Tom Brady is, you want this man to play well as he ages, you must give him the best protection possible. And Harris just named a couple of guys, Stoney and Shaq Mason, a couple of guys, and Marcus Cannon is right there with the rest of the offensive line that has to be solid for this running game to be successful, and Tom Brady to continue to dissect teams down the field.
Yes, and when Gronkowski went down, the name that kept popping up in my head that I kept thinking about is Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis was going to have to be a big factor in this offense, especially once Gronkowski went down, and they finally let him loose this game. And it wasn't even in the passing game. They let him rush it, and he ran for 18 carries, 95 yards, and he looked really good out there. It looked like the Deion Lewis of old. And we're starting to see that he's got his step back, he's got his speed, and this could get really scary going forward. Now that you have Deion Lewis, you have James White, you know, now really becoming that third down back, and then LeGarrette Blount getting those short runs in the goal line. This running offense for the Patriots is dynamic. And Harris said it. This is probably the best running offense in the AFC right now, and I agree with him.
Yeah, like I said last week, I think it was last week, the Patriots officially have a three-headed monster in the backfield. Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, James White. You know, who would have thought coming into today's game that Deion Lewis would, you know, be able to rush for 18 times for 95 yards? You know, for the most part, you thought LeGarrette Blount, especially the season he's been having, most touchdowns for a running back in Patriots history and a single season record. And going over 1,000 yards, you probably figure LeGarrette Blount would lead the way. But, you know, it goes to show you, if you look at the stats, the Patriots have a three-headed monster. Obviously, James White didn't do much in the running game, only got 3 carries for 11 yards. But you know you can line him up behind Brady, and he could go up and catch a quick pass and be successful down the field as well. You know, he received 3 catches for 24 yards. On 8 targets, you know, he had the second most targets behind Julian Edelman on the team. So, three-headed monster is what this team had. This Patriots offense, I understand Gronkowski, a healthy Gronkowski, makes this offense, you know, 10 times, 20 times better, obviously. But it's so good to see and know that, unlike seasons before where it was just Gronkowski, Edelman, and then after that, you never knew what you were going to get. Finally, you know that Tom Brady, obviously, he forces the ball to Edelman a lot, as we can see over the last couple of games. But still, James White's an option. Deion Lewis is an option. Martellus Bennett's an option. Mitchell's an option. Chris Hogan's an option. The Patriots have options, and that's all you can ask for with any team. But especially for Tom Brady in this offense, you want them to have options if Gronkowski's playing or not. And finally, they do, which is why, you know, this team will find a lot of success moving forward throughout the rest of the season and the postseason as well.
And it's crazy because if you told Denver before this game, Tom Brady was going to come in, go 16 for 32, only throw for 188 yards, 0 touchdowns, most people in Denver would be like, oh, we'll take that any day of the week. But yet, Patriots found a way to win with their running game and their defense. A guy who we rarely speak on this show defensively-wise is Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan had a really good game. You know, he led the team in tackles, 7 solo tackles by himself, and he had that nice interception that went for 46 yards when he cut the route of Emmanuel Sanders. So Logan Ryan starting to look okay. You know, it's just one game. Trevor Siemian is not the greatest of quarterbacks, so we cannot overreact. You have another guy who's been making a name for himself on this team, Kyle Van Noy. You know, since we let go of Jamie Collins, he's really stepped up. He's getting the tackles for losses, getting disrupting passes, getting disrupting the quarterbacks as well. Kyle Van Noy has been a guy that I loved seeing. And a man last week that announcers were saying were probably the best defensive player in the Patriots, and he's been playing like it so far, is Trey Flowers. 2 sacks in tonight's game. He's been that guy that's really been getting to the quarterback, you know, taking over that Chandler Jones role that we thought that would be Jabal Sheard or maybe Long. But Trey Flowers has been that guy that's been getting the sacks, and he's been doing it consistently as of late.
One thing that I preach and beg for week in and week out, I hope my dad's listening because this is a conversation my dad and I have all the time. We just ask for the Patriots to have a consistent or at least solid pass rush. And over the last couple of games, we're finally seeing somewhat of a pass rush. The turnovers are great too, but at least getting to the quarterback is all anybody who's paid attention to this Patriot defense can ask for. And today, you mentioned some of the guys that came up with sacks, that rushed the quarterback, that made Trevor Siemian have to make quick plays and possibly cause a turnover or throw balls away or throw them in the ground or whatever the case may be. A lot of that is due to a solid pass rush that the Patriots are finally somewhat putting together and hopefully can last. I mean, obviously you faced a quarterback in Trevor Siemian who's a guy that not many people fear. But as you get deeper into the season and get into the postseason, you're going to face better quarterbacks, you know. The other top teams in the AFC that the Patriots have to worry about. You're talking about Alex Smith, you know, Derek Carr. I would say Trevor Siemian is not as good as either one of those two players. So for you to find success like you did against Trevor Siemian today, the Patriots are going to need to take the solid pass rush that they found in these last couple of games and especially what they had today and make sure that that is consistent, especially when the postseason comes around because – you're going to need to put pressure and get to Derek Carr. You're going to need to put pressure and get to Alex Smith. Because we like I've said plenty of times, we've seen what a solid pass rush can do to the great and mighty Tom Brady. So if you could do it to any of these quarterbacks who are not on Tom Brady's level, just imagine what kind of day defensively a team can have, this Patriots team can have.
Yeah, and like you said, Brady's not always going to have the best of games, which is the reason why I brought up Ryan Allen earlier to Harris. Is Ryan Allen is going to be a very key factor to the Patriots in this playoff season. You know, he had 7 punts today. 3 times he pinned the Denver Broncos in their 10. And if you can get a Brady who's off and you have a punter who's really doing that, helping out the defense, that's going to create many opportunities. We saw the 2 weeks before they got a safety off of that. Off of great punts like that. So as long as Ryan Allen is continuing to punt like he's doing, if Brady's having an off game, we can rely on the special teams and the defense to, you know, slow down the opposing team's offense.
Yeah, it's not all on Tom Brady anymore, which is all you can ask for, especially when you know you have an aging quarterback. As great as Tom Brady is, the age and father time is going to play a factor. So as long if you have a solid defense who can cause turnovers and possibly score points on defensively, if you have a solid running game, if you have a solid offensive line that can protect Tom Brady and you know open up the way for these running backs to make plays, that's all you can ask for. Give Tom Brady help to find success for the whole team.
We're now going to bring in our good friend Wes Langley from the New England Patriots Nation. Wes, the Pats clinched the AFC East once again. It seems like it's a routine year by year. What did you like or you didn't like watching this game?
Well, what I liked in this game was, of course, the great offensive line play. We almost nearly contained Von Miller for the entire game. A great job by Marcus Cannon, and then some of the other tight ends, too. What else I liked was we were getting Deion Lewis more involved and James White on third down the passing game. I've seen the trend this year. That has been a little bit of Denver's weaknesses. They can contain the third down backs and the scat backs, stuff like that. That's what I thought. And then the defense, it really, really stepped up in all three phases. I was really impressed with holding Denver to 3 points for the whole game.
Absolutely, man. And one guy I definitely want to spotlight and ask you about is this guy, LeGarrette Blount. Obviously, you know, didn't have a huge game today, but, you know, he secured another touchdown to take that single-season record. And, you know, he's gone over 1,000 yards on the season, something that you don't usually see from Patriots running backs too often over the last couple of years. How great has he been to this team, and just having Deion Lewis and James White there as well, the whole running back committee, but LeGarrette Blount especially?
Yeah, he's been very, very important, especially in the goal line. He's been our power back, the back that we've been leading to when we need a first down or when we need a goal line touchdown. He has got expectations further than we ever expected when the season started. We didn't even know what his future would hold, but I definitely think that he definitely deserves a new contract with us. He did just turn 30 years old, so he's getting up there, but I definitely think that he has some really good years left in him.
Wes, Brady and Belichick have 16 seasons together and 14 division titles. Could you name a better dynamic duo than those two?
I cannot name a better duo than that. You could maybe argue Montana or Bill Walsh, but they're just nobody that's ever played at a level of Brady and Belichick. If you look at the track record, over 200 wins, all the 14 division titles, the 6 Super Bowl appearances, the 4 Super Bowl wins, they're just nobody that holds a standard better than that duo.
One thing that our friend who called in earlier, Daniel, brought up was the fact that Tom Brady and his record 200-plus wins for a quarterback, he didn't feel like there's another quarterback in the league right now who will possibly come close to that. And just overall, he doesn't think that's a record that might be touched anytime soon. Do you see any quarterback in the league now, whether it be your Cam Newtons, your Matt Staffords, your Russell Wilsons, do you think anybody will ever come close to touching that record of getting over 200 wins?
I do not see that. The crazy thing about that is that Tom Brady, he's not even done with the record. He could have like 3 to 5 more years tacked onto that. So he could have close to 250 or even a little closer to 300 when he's done. So I don't see that record being broken, even if someone's playing at a high level, because we've never seen someone play at a high level as Tom Brady for this many years, for this long. That's just my opinion on that.
Definitely. Any final thoughts, Wes, before we let you go?
I just wanted to say how impressed I was at the win at Denver. One of our best wins of the year. Frankly, one of the best years in the NFL this year on the road. It was the great offensive line play. And I love how involved Deion Lewis was. He looked like the old Deion Lewis. And I'm just excited about what we can do in the future with our third down backs and going by committee. And Michael Ford, I'm interested what he's going to do next week and the weeks coming forward heading to the playoffs. And I wanted to thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, man. Right, thank you. Always great stuff from you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Great stuff, Wes. Be sure to check out Wes Langley's New England Patriots Nation page and like it on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TheRealNewEnglandPatriotsNation. Want to give a quick shout-out to today's sponsors, Omaha Steaks and Blue Apron. Get the perfect holiday gift from the family gift pack from Omaha Steaks by going to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code BEAT, that's BEAT, in the search bar, and add the family gift pack to your cart for just $49.99. That's a 77% saving. Also, Blue Apron. Give you great food for less than $10 per meal. Blue Apron delivers new seasonal recipes each week along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals at a great price. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/patriots. We'll love if everyone, if they had interest, would use these promo codes as it is a way to help support us here at CLNS Radio. Once again, Patriots win tonight in a defensive matchup against Denver Broncos, 16-3, and Patriots are now 7-0 in away games. They have been unstoppable away. The two losses have actually surprisingly been at home. And Brady, he's only lost one since he came back, and that was against the Bills? No. I can't even remember who Brady lost to.
He lost to the Seahawks.
It was against the Seahawks at home. And I don't even want – we might see them again, but that's looking a little too far right now. And Wes brought up, you know, some great points as well. And the guy that I want – another thing I want to talk about who got brought up is Devin McCourty. He was everywhere. Mike, sometimes you get frustrated with McCourty because you don't see him much. But as a free safety, you know, he just doesn't let up big plays at all. This week, he was everywhere. You saw him, you know, causing that drop from Demaryius Thomas, which was huge. Last week, he had that interception. McCourty seems to have found his stride as that leader in the secondary and has been making big plays at the right time.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Devin McCourty. Just like you said, you know, obviously he's not the hardest hitting safety out there. But one thing he does do well is he doesn't allow big plays down the field. And he's definitely a leader, I would say, for that secondary and just for the defense overall. He's definitely a leader, one of the veterans on the team that's been around for a while. I'm not sure if he was named the captain this year or not. I don't remember for sure. But captain or not, Devin McCourty for sure is a leader. And, you know, just from watching him play, especially today's game, you can see how that leadership and just not giving a big plays down the field, making big plays for his team. He's just been solid year in and year out for sure.
Well, now we're going to enter our segment with Tyler Trudeau. Tyler Trudeau, CLNS Radio video correspondent, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Tyler, Patriots clinched the AFC East in a first-round bye. Just speak on how big that is for this Patriots team.
This is really a huge kind of, we can all take a deep breath now. Okay, we're going through a bye in the first round. We got the AFC East again. No fluke crazy things going to happen with Miami anymore. We did our job. We got the first round bye, and that is just absolutely huge. This game was big. It was finally nice to get a win in Denver. The Patriots have really struggled there. I believe Brady is 2-7, well now 3-7 in his career in Denver. So it's just been a tough place for really any team to go to, but it just shows you how difficult it is for even the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, to go into Denver and even play a good game. I think that there's a lot of things that Patriots fans need to think rather than think, oh, this is an amazing game, huge win. It is a huge win, but there are a lot of things that the Patriots need to have done better, and a few things that the Denver Broncos did to bail out the Patriots. There were a couple of times when we were running out the clock where the Broncos kept getting personal fouls and kept making mistakes and kept giving the Patriots the ability to run out more clock. If a few other things go their way, and I'm not saying like the Patriots defense wasn't playing well, the Patriots defense was terrific, but it was against Trevor Siemian. I think last week's performance was more impressive against the Ravens than I think this week was against the Broncos, because due to the fact that Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Trevor Siemian is a nobody would know who he was if he wasn't playing for the Denver Broncos and is probably a backup on most teams' rosters.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think Trevor Siemian's terrible. But one thing I do want to ask you about is something that I brought up early in the show was the fact that the Patriots literally have a three-headed monster now, I would say, in the running game with Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, and James White. Is this type of three-headed monster running back by committee something that the Patriots will continue to use for the rest of this season and especially over the next couple of seasons that they have, Brady, to continue to probably help prolong his career?
I think that you hit it right on the head. I think that this group running back effort is huge. And I remember at the beginning of the year, we were talking about how the Patriots need to have a better running game. Well, this is kind of that running game. Yes, people have been critical of Blunt before, and people really didn't know much about James White until the start of this year, where he stepped into that Deion Lewis role. And now Deion Lewis, just even right off the bat on the first play when he got that kick return to start off the game, even though he didn't get too far, you could just kind of tell he was a little more explosive. You could kind of see the old Deion Lewis getting back. And these three guys, if they stick together, they kind of all fill in each other's weaknesses. Blunt is easily just a drive right up the middle, break you down. You're not going to want to tackle me, but you're going to have to if you're going to stop us from playing. White is a guy that can mainly is just going to catch passes and block a little bit. And Deion Lewis is kind of that in-between. I can run the ball. I can catch passes as well. It really depends on what the game plan is that day. And that's just going to keep defenses on their toes all game long, and they are going to be confused. And the best part of this game for the Patriots was the running game, because even though the Broncos defense is garbage, Broncos offense is garbage, the Patriots defense did play well. There was some good things. Devin McCourty had a good game. Trey Flowers is continuing to be impressive throughout the season. But really, the highlight of the offense for the Patriots was the running game, and Deion Lewis carrying the ball 18 times, getting 95 yards, that's good to see out of someone that we were afraid wouldn't be the same coming back from that big injury that he had last season. But it's nice to see him starting to turn around. LeGarrette Blount, another consistent game. There was only one touchdown, and he was able to drive it right through. 1 yard run, not really the most pretty play, but hey, he's been getting the job done. Is now the Patriots franchise record holder for most rushing touchdowns in a season. That's very impressive, especially from what we were expecting from him at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, is it safe to say that since the Patriots traded Jamie Collins that their defense has gotten a lot better and that Calvin Noy has really filled in well, taking that void and filling in for Jamie Collins?
I don't know what is going on with the Patriots defense, but it really seemed to just do a complete 180 from where it was a couple of weeks ago. I remember everyone was panicking about how the defense was kind of letting up, and even that Seattle Seahawks loss, everyone was blaming it on the defense, and it was a fair point to be blaming it on the defense, but that was a week after the trade happened, coming out of a bye week. That was a tough situation, and now it seems that this Patriots defense is starting to step up. It seems that they're doing a little more advanced stuff. I don't know if this is because they're deeper into the season and they're able to handle these more complicated sets, or they're just playing better because they know that they're a better defensive team. They should have been a much better defensive team throughout the season. And yes, I understand that they haven't given up many points, and they definitely showed that again today, only giving up a field goal to the Broncos. But this defense is actually starting to seem like it's playing with some energy and some intensity. And that's what this Patriots team is going to need if they are going to want to make it to the Super Bowl and win. Because if Tom Brady plays like he did today, which I don't expect he ever will, because I think he has a mental block about coming to Denver and playing the Broncos and Von Miller, he still probably has nightmares about. I think that if the Patriots play like this, they have an extremely good chance to win the Super Bowl. But again, I'm not extremely impressed to give the Patriots all the praise in the world because, again, it was Trevor Siemian who honestly looked pretty decent at the beginning of the game. Really, he was rolling down the field that entire first quarter. It seemed like that the quarterbacks traded jerseys and no one seemed to know. Brady going 0-for-6 to start, and Trevor Siemian's driving down the field. First quarter ends, then he throws a pick to to Logan Ryan immediately. That was really what turned the game around, and the Patriots never looked back because they were just straight up better than Trevor Siemian.
When you look at the way the Patriots defensively have been getting at the quarterback, one thing I was talking about early in the show was how they need to take the same kind of pass rush they had against Trevor Siemian, and when it gets time for the playoffs to come around, you possibly facing the Kansas City and Alex Smith or Oakland and Derek Carr. How effective will this pass rush be going up against quarterbacks like that, especially when the playoffs come around, if those are the teams that the Patriots end up facing?
Well, I feel like that the pass rush just needs to continue what it's been doing. I don't know if it's because it's against the weaker quarterbacks that they've been going at it, but even in the Ravens game last week, it seems that the Patriots were getting closer to bringing the quarterback down, and this has definitely been an improvement. Like most of the Patriots' defensive analysis that we've been giving recently is everything seems to be improved. The little things that they weren't doing at the beginning of the season, they are starting to do. They are getting more sacks. They are rushing the pass to make bad plays more and more. And if, like I said earlier, if they are going to win the Super Bowl, because this season seems like it's coming down to Super Bowl or bust. That's really what they've been building up from the Bennett trade, especially when all the high expectations with how much better this defense was going to be. It really seemed like it was going to be Super Bowl or bust. And when it comes to the playoffs, you're really going to need to put pressure on the quarterback, because that's either a rushed pass to get a big interception to turn around the game. It is a fumble. It is a turnover on downs when the defense needs a stop. The pressure needs to really step up and continue to play at what it's been playing at. Trey Flowers has been absolutely outstanding. He has really stepped up and been that player that everyone was afraid they'd lose with all these trades that they made. And if the Patriots are continuing to pressure the quarterback, and I don't know if that's the game plan more, they seem to be a lot more aggressive than being passive, sitting back in a zone. I think that needs to continue. No more zone. Attack the quarterback. Make your players step up and make plays, because this team, this defensive team may not be filled with playmakers, but they have guys who can step up and make plays.
I agree, Tyler. Well said. As long as we continue attacking the quarterbacks, good things seem to happen for this defense. So why not continue that? And I think Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick have finally gotten and seen what they can do for our defense. Tyler, once again, man, thank you very much for calling in, and we look forward to hearing you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Tasted. Yep.
Definitely. Tyler Trudeau, CLNS radio video correspondent. Follow him on Twitter at CLNS_Tyler. Head on over to the CLNS radio YouTube channel to check out all of Tyler's great work for CLNS. Subscribe at youtube.com/CLNS radio. That's youtube.com/CLNS radio. And now we're about to swing it over to Mike Olonji, where he's going to give us the round of NFL.
Thanks, Marv. Appreciate it. Today's NFL scores are brought to you by Indochino. Listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 when you mention the code PATRIOTS at the Boston Indochino showroom at 85 Newbury Street. That's an $800 made-to-measure suit for just $389. You can go to Indochino.com and book your appointment at the Boston showroom. Mention the promo code PATRIOTS for over 50% off your first suit. A lot of close games today, guys. Green Bay Packers just squeezed one out against the Chicago Bears at the last second, 30-27. Houston Texans defeated the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, 21-20. Gus Bradley fired after the game, no longer the head coach. I believe their offensive coordinator was also fired in Jacksonville, so they're just crashing and burning down there. Buffalo Bills absolutely obliterated the Cleveland Browns, 33-13. Cleveland Browns are now running out of chances, guys. They're 0-14 on the year, coming up on that ugly 0-16 record. Baltimore Ravens defeated the Philadelphia Eagles, 27-26 today. They're 8-6. They're still on the hunt for a playoff spot. Tennessee Titans with a big upset for the Patriots. They defeated the Kansas City Chiefs, 19-17. Titans are 8-6 on the year, still have a legitimate shot at the division title in the South. Chiefs fall to 10-4. The New York Giants defeated the Detroit Lions 17-16. I saw that the Giants have a chance to still be the number one overall seed if things go their way in the NFC. Colts absolutely destroyed the Minnesota Vikings 34-6. Steelers over the Bengals 24-20. The Saints in a shootout over the Arizona Cardinals 48-41. The Atlanta Falcons defeated the San Francisco 49ers 41-13. And the Oakland Raiders, guys, they pulled one out, 19-16 over the Chargers. They're now 11-3 on the year. If they lose next week and the Patriots win, Patriots will lock up the number one overall seed in the AFC. That's today's NFL scores brought to you by Indochino. Again, go to Indochino.com and book your appointment at the Boston Showroom. Mention the promo code Patriots and get over 50% off your first suit at the 85 Newbury Street location. Marv, back to you guys.
Thank you once again, Alonzo. Yeah, those pesky Oakland Raiders, they just don't seem to go away. But that's a team that I'm not too worried about yet. As good as they've been looking, I think playoffs, man, it's a different story. They're still a little inexperienced. I believe they'll be coming to Gillette. If we ever do face them down the road, they'll be at Gillette, and Patriots will be able to handle that. But Oakland Raiders, a surprise team this year, 11-3. I don't think anyone's seen that coming. But Derek Carr has had an MVP-type season, and that team has just been rolling. But right now, we're going to just focus on our team, New England Patriots, 12-2 right now. They got the Jets and the Dolphins to end the year. I want them to finish strong, not like last year when they started doing some weird experimental resting, not resting players, didn't know what they wanted to do. Finish these two games strong, end the year 14-2, get that number one seed, and we sit and wait to see who our next opponent is.
I'll say something crazy, DJ Mees. I think that after today's game, even though the Patriots got the win, it was a solid game all around for the most part. I think in some ways, Tom Brady took a step back into running for MVP with his performance today. And that's just my opinion. You know, a lot of people will talk about how Tom Brady missed four games. You know, obviously the stats aren't like other quarterbacks in the league and whatnot. And he had a solid game last week, which was the reason why a lot of people, you know, said, oh, with that performance, you know, Brady's possibly at the top of a lot of people's list in terms of MVPs. But I think for Tom Brady to really continue to possibly solidify himself in the MVP talk and possibly a true MVP candidate for the rest of the season, he would have to, you know, keep having solid performance of, you know, like over 300 yards or 2, 3, 4 touchdown passes. And I mean, he got the win today. I'm not saying he had a bad game today, but just because of, you know, somewhat lackluster performance, not getting the big yards and whatnot, I think he possibly took a step back in terms of in the running for MVP.
But then I can see that, you know, saying, okay, Brady's missed four games. He didn't have the greatest game this week. But who would you put ahead of him? What players would you put ahead of Brady right now in this MVP conversation?
I would say guys like Derek Carr, who's really stepped up this season and has turned that team, that organization around compared to what they've been, what the that team has been used to over the last couple of seasons. So I got to give Derek Carr a lot of credit. Ezekiel Elliott also has just been playing very well in his rookie year. You got to give him credit too. I'm not saying Tom Brady, in my opinion, Tom Brady's having a hell of a season. Is he the MVP of the league? I think it'll come down to really have a set answer when the season's all said and done. But we'll see, man. We'll just have to wait to see how things shake out and the regular season comes to an end.
Definitely, you know, two more games left. We'll see how the Patriots and Tom Brady close out. It's going to be an interesting race. I agree with all those players that you just said. And we're getting close to talking about our own MVP of the night when it comes to the star of the game. But before we do that, let's hear some more words from our sponsors.
I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. Guys after my own heart, that's for sure. I love young entrepreneurs. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009. And from there, we started a company that made a career out of it. So we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, so cool, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount off a watch right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping And if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Wait a second. Even the name is cool. It's spelled www.mvmtwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Now is the time to step up your watch game, folks, and I can tell you, since I got the Chrono Gunmetal watch, I've been getting complimented left and right. Get your 15% off, get your free shipping, no risk involved. You can return the watch if you don't like it, and you're also supporting Celtics Beat Podcast and CLNS Radio. Again, go to mvmtwatches.com/Celtics Beat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the newsfeed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Patriots win, clinch the AFC East. I know you've heard it all night long. New England Patriots win 16-3. They get the first round bye. And now we're going to talk about who was the star of the game. This could go to many people. Mike, I'm interested to hear who's the star of the game tonight.
Yeah, man. Like you said, there's a lot of options on the table of who could possibly be the star. And, you know, I put the poll out and wanted to get people's opinions on who they felt was the star of the game. And in a close race, just by a couple of votes, the vote goes to Deion Lewis as the star of the game. Obviously, we all know Deion Lewis had a solid game, probably his best game of the season since he's been back. So Deion Lewis voted the star of the game, but coming in close in second place was Marcus Cannon, who we talked about throughout the show. Had a solid game and really did a great job at stopping Von Miller from really having a huge impact on the game. So you got to give him credit as well. But just all around, you know, whether it be Deion Lewis, Marcus Cannon, Logan Ryan, even Steven Gostkowski, a lot of guys had solid games for real. So, you know, star game could have gone to various guys for sure.
Deion Lewis, wow, once again, 18 carries, 95 yards, average of 5 yards per carry, which is great. If we can get that from Deion Lewis every week, there is no complaints. And once again, this is a week where he didn't really kill it in the receiving game, only 2 receptions for 9 yards. But we know that he's a dual threat. So Deion Lewis could be possible stars of the games going forward as well.
Exactly. Just got to wait and see. You know, obviously he's working his way back. Seems to be right in the mix of things now, along with Garrett Blunt and James White. Like I've been saying, this three-headed monster, man. It's going to be solid for the Patriots moving forward.
And Mike, real quick, where can they find you on Twitter so they can vote as well for the stars of the game?
You can find me on Twitter at @CLNS_MikeNice. Mike Nice is one word, at @CLNS_MikeNice. I put the poll out. Send me your votes, your comments, replies, whatever the case may be. Let me know who is the CLNS Patriots postgame show star of the game or sorry of the game, whatever the case may be.
And when there's the good, there's the bad.
Bad. And when
you're
bad,
we tell you, sorry.
Yeah, man, in terms of a sorry of the game, I think the Patriots did well all around. If I had to really give a sorry out, I'd give it to Trevor Siemian. I just think I don't watch too many Denver Bronco games, but just from what I saw today, he looks like he's absolute trash. I feel bad for the Denver Broncos, and especially Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who has to deal with this type of garbage that Trevor Siemian is throwing out there. So I'd have to give the sorry to Trevor Siemian, in my opinion.
I don't think Trevor Siemian is that great, but with the offense that they have, they don't have a running offense at all. Justin Forsett's not the Justin Forsett that we saw in Baltimore, but yeah, he's an okay quarterback. You know, he's a game manager. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders definitely have not gotten the most out of what they should be doing. You know what I'm saying? But AJ Derby looked good out there as well. Our old AJ Derby from the preseason. But yeah, Trevor Siemian got shut down by the Patriots. So if you want to give him the sorry, I don't see no complaints there from me.
Yeah, man, I think it is him for sure. But moving on from this game, you know, the Patriots got another game next week, and I think it's against the New York Jets. Am I correct?
Yes, against the sorry Jets.
Yeah, against the Jets. You know, there's not too much to say about this game. If you think the Patriots, you know, we've seen some kind of funny stuff happen at the end of the season for the New England Patriots, especially last season. But I think the Jets are such a sorry team that we're looking at a New England Patriots team that will be 13-2 by the time Week 16 comes to an end.
Yeah, this should be an easy game. The Jets have completely just given up. It's sad because, you know, I like Todd Bowles as a coach, but he has no handle in that locker room whatsoever. Seems like the players don't even care no more. Should be a very easy win at home for the Patriots. I'm not expecting much. What about you, Michael Landry? What are you seeing in this game?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, you know, obviously we usually take the Jets game pretty seriously each year, both Jets games. They're obviously a tough divisional opponent, but, I mean, if you saw them on Saturday night, guys, they got diced up by Matt Moore, who hasn't started a game in 5 years, and they got diced up. That is the definition of sorry. They're terrible. So, I mean, yeah, I don't see this one being very tough. I think the Patriots do go all out and try to win this game next week. Hope that the Raiders lose, because I did see on Twitter that the scenario is Patriots win next week, Raiders lose, and Patriots clinch the number one overall seed. So I think they go all out, try to win that one next week, and then hope that the Raiders lose before probably having another game in Miami at the end of the year that means nothing and no one's probably going to play.
And it'll be New Year's. It'll be New Year's that day, too. So, you know, some of the players will hope that they don't have to play that game and just have a rest day. So they're going to go all out against the Jets.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see Patriots just marching in to the postseason, just lock up these W's to end the season off.
Yeah, we're getting close to that playoff time, and it's an exciting time out here in New England. This postgame show will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as CLNS Radio mobile podcast app when you download our feed. You'll also get the Patriots News Feed podcast, our daily news podcast hosted by our content manager, Michael Landry. While you're at it, make sure you check out the Patriots Beat podcast hosted by Harris, which is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You can also check out Tyler Trudeau's video work for CLNS at youtube.com/CLNS Radio and catch them on Celtics News Feed Live 5 days a week on CLNSradio.com. And be sure to check out Charles Rustic and Billy White's written work on the Patriots at CLNSradio.com. Today's show was brought to you by Indochino. Get any premium soup for $389 when you mention the code Patriots at their Newberry Street showroom in Boston. Omaha Steaks, get the family gift pack for just $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and type the word BEAT. That's BEAT in the main search bar. And by Blue Apron, get your first three meals for free with free shipping when you go to blueapron.com/Patriots. Want to thank our guests for today's callers and everyone who turned in. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Patriots Content Manager Michael Landry, my co-host Mike Knife, I'm Marvin Azan. See everyone back here next week when the Patriots take on the Jets at home. Good night, y'all.
Absolutely. And again, this has been the New England Patriots postgame show powered by CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all New England professional sports. We will see you guys next week.